The State Department dispatches people to countries all over the world, but now it's tried something new, employing student interns right here in the United States who stay at their universities while working on projects abroad. They're part of a virtual foreign service that has grown exponentially under the management of Bridget Roddy, the virtual student foreign service program manager. For her work, she's one of 33 finalists for this year's Service to America medals, and she told me more about that program.
A lot of things are actually becoming more virtual. So what we did, or actually we have to give credit to Secretary Clinton for announcing the program, is she wanted to find a way where U.S. college students, no matter where they are studying, so whether they're in South Dakota or Missouri, they don't have to actually come to Washington and do an internship. They can still be helping us while they're at university and while we're here in Washington or overseas, work on different projects remotely.
So it's really more like tele-diplomacy than virtual diplomacy, maybe.
Yeah, I like that. Telediplomacy. Yeah, it totally is. Yep.
So this is college students, and what are the types of programs they work on?
So it's great. So actually this year we're expanding not just with State Department offices, but with other agencies as well. So they could be helping USAID, they could be helping the Smithsonian, NASA, with things like doing data visualization or helping with graphic design or looking at social media analysis. So areas where maybe the government doesn't quite have that expertise in-house, so we're looking outside to have students help us with some of these really important projects that we're working on.
Now, as the program manager for this, how did you get it off the ground? How do you begin something like this where you are so far away from the intended recipients?
Well, so what we did was we talked a lot with the students that were current interns at the State Department to kind of get their perspective on how would they like to work remotely, what would that look like. We had to talk a lot with our offices, too, to say what kind of projects, what would you need help on. So it took a little bit of time for, I think, some of our offices to think, oh, I don't have to physically, you know, see an intern who's here. I can also work with them, you know, remotely. So we did a lot of talking to people and a lot of listening and learning and stuff. And then we just kind of started. We tried it. And we said, you know, hey, let's take students that were former interns and let's see if they want to become virtual interns, because then they have a little bit of understanding of State Department already, and let's see how that works. And then once that worked out really well, then we said, well, let's open it up to every college student in the U.S.
And do the students that want to participate, do they have to be poli-sci, or can they be in any of a number of fields?
Well, that's the great thing, is that I think a lot of times people think State Department, oh, I have to be international relations major, you know, or poli-sci or something, but really, we have students, you know, I mean, a lot of the work that we do, like the Office of the Historian, they're looking for students that have like anthropology background, sociology. So it really spreads far beyond just international relations students, because a lot of the work we do is also things like environment and oceans and science, you know, so it really attracts huge diverse audience.
And when you choose them, do you have to see them in person, or can they be chosen for the internships by telemeans, say teleconferencing?
Yeah, so what we're seeing now, in the very beginning, we noticed a lot of the students, once they applied, the offices, it's up to them to kind of, you know, pick the students they want to work with. And at first, people were just looking at their actual application and the resume. But what we're seeing now is more and more offices are actually picking up the phone and saying, hey, let's do an interview, or they're doing a Skype or something to really get a sense of, you know, who the student is. So not just how you appear on paper, but what you're like, I guess I was going to say in person, but not what you're like, you know, as a person, even if you're not physically here in person.
And they are students, so this is not something full time. Do they have regular hours they devote to this, or can they work overnight as college students like to do? And how do they deliver their work product to the State Department?
Well, so that's the great thing, is because it's all remote. I mean, students can be working, you know, in between classes or at, you know, 11:30 at night in their pajamas from the library or wherever they might be. And so what we found is most students contribute about like 10 hours a week, but it's very, very flexible. A lot of students, you know, maybe they have a few weeks where they want to work a lot more on a certain project, or if they have like midterms, they won't be, you know, working as much and stuff. And then we really leave it up to the office to kind of figure out sort of how they communicate with the students, so whether they're, you know, sharing Google Docs with each other, or whether they're emailing like a PowerPoint, a presentation or something that can be used next week. It's totally up to, you know, the student and the supervisor to kind of figure that out. And we're here to just kind of give, you know, general guidance and like say, hey, here's an option. You might want to consider, you know, doing this.
Give us an example of the type of work output that might be delivered, just so we can get a sense of, you know, what they're sending to you.
Sure. So one of our virtual interns from a couple years ago, his name's Tom, and he was a PhD candidate at Yale. And he picked to work on a project with our U.S. Embassy in Mongolia to look at how science is taught in the U.S. for K through 12 compared to how science is taught in Mongolia, and to kind of find ways and similarities that maybe some practices that we're using might be helpful to, you know, students in Mongolia. And so what the embassy actually was looking for him to do was to write a whole kind of like a, you know, a white paper type thing of all of his research, all of his findings. So then when the embassy is going and talking with folks from the Mongolian, you know, education department, they can go and pull out different bits of information, you know, as they need it. So in that case, it was a, you know, a large document that was produced. But in other cases, for example, Heidi recently, she is a virtual intern who's doing graphic design. And there was a strategic partnership meeting that happened here at State Department. And so she actually designed all the logos for that, all the badges for that. And so it was really cool. So I went over and I took some pictures of her design so then I could send them to her and say, hey, look, how, you know, here's all the great work that you did, you know, for folks from the U.S. and from Japan and from Australia who are all, you know, all getting together here in Washington so that she could then see how her, the work that she did was actually being seen by all these other, you know, foreign diplomats and stuff.
We're speaking with Bridget Roddy. She is the program manager for the Virtual Student Foreign Service Program at the State Department. And now you are a SAMMY's finalist for this effort. That must be pretty exciting, but it also indicates you have some predilection or devotion to public service. Tell us how you got into this game.
Sure. So I actually kind of, I guess, was born into public service. My father was a foreign service officer. And so he, you know, we moved around every few years. And although I was born here in the U.S., I spent most of my first 15 years overseas. So I think just being brought up in public service sort of inspired me or helped me kind of figure out that, yeah, you know, this is something that I would like to do as well. So after I graduated from college, I thought I was actually going to go to New York City and be a graphic designer for an ad agency. And when that didn't really
Everybody
happen,
thinks that.
I know. When that didn't really work out, I was like, well, let's see. Like, maybe I'll, you know, look at the State Department and see what, you know, what possibilities are there. So I did that and then have kind of just continued, you know, moving throughout the State Department and finding ways that I can be, you know, helpful for different groups of people. So I started off in the Family Liaison Office, which is a great office of state who helps Foreign Service family members with things like education and employment and stuff. So I kind of started off there and then said, you know, I really like doing this. I really like helping people, and I'd like to continue to do that.
Now, you had exposure to the State Department growing up, but nevertheless, you are roughly a millennial working in the State Department. And there's a lot of cliches about millennials and about places like the State Department. How have you found it in terms of a work environment for someone in your age band?
Mm-hmm. So what I think has really been a great opportunity is just looking and seeing where people are that are doing really interesting and cool things and kind of placing yourself with those groups. So I think as a, I guess I'm a borderline millennial maybe, we like variety and we like to do something for, you know, a short period of time and then move somewhere else and do something different and then keep moving around. And so I think actually it's been really great because the State Department, you do have that, you know, flexibility to move around from different offices. And I think if you stay in one place too long, you know, you kind of get stuck and you need to keep moving and to keep meeting people and to keep finding where you can, you know, can add value. And I think a lot of times, maybe with the State Department, a lot of people aren't looking for necessarily like a career with one organization, but rather how they can lend value and contribute in smaller chunks of time.
And do you find the State Department is amenable to that kind of mobility?
Actually, yes. Besides like internship programs, there's also different, you know, fellowships where people from, you know, who are like Jefferson Science Fellows in academia can come to the department for a year, do a lot of really great work, and then go back to academia and then share what they learned and what they did, you know, at the State Department while they're, you know, still teaching and learning with, you know, students. So I think we do have a lot of flexible, I guess, opportunities within State Department, and also I think within, you know, government too.
And getting back to the virtual student interns, what is the future for them? They do this piece of work, say, deliver this white paper about Mongolian science education versus U.S. science education. Do you hope to recruit those people maybe someday when they graduate to the State Department full time?
I think we hope that the students will continue to contribute and volunteer and help out the U.S. government. So whether that's in a full-time, you know, like a foreign service officer or a civil service officer or even, you know, a contractor with the government. I think what we're really hoping is that the students have an opportunity to see the work that we're doing and to tie that to what they're learning in school, and then to figure out, as citizens, you know, how we can continue to move forward. So sure, it'd be great if they wanted to come back and work at State Department too, but I think just the experience that they've had hopefully will, you know, benefit them or inspire them in the long term.